This is Keeping the Faith on the Mormon Faircast. The Keeping the Faith series explores ways in which our faith can be challenged and ways in which we can overcome those challenges. In this episode, I interview Fair member Cody Anderson, who shares his story about how and why he left the church and what brought him back. Cody Anderson, welcome to the Mormon Faircast.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about who you are? Where did you come from, and tell us about your background a little bit?
Well, I'm a native to Southern California. I was born in Glendale, California, but I was raised in Hemet, which is the southern part next to San Diego. I was born and raised in the gospel to good, faithful parents, a mother who was actually a convert. She came from Southern Baptist roots. And my father, who his actual lineage is a fifth generation Mormon. I've been involved in various activities ever since I was a kid, ranging from 4-H and showing pigs at the county fair to soccer to American Idol. I come from a family of singers. We've even recorded our own various little albums and tried to get them out there and things like that.
So American Idol, would anybody have seen you on the show, or what, tell me about that?
Oh, I doubt anyone would recognize me. It was one of those things where only your family members do, you know.
So you weren't actually one of the finalists or anything?
No, nothing like that. No, they apparently didn't think I was too good to make it on the actual show. So
okay.
Left that one alone.
But
yeah.
I guess you tried out then.
Yes, I did. I tried it, you know. Can't hurt but try.
Yeah. And so grew up in California, raised in the church.
Yeah.
And what do you do now?
Well, now I actually just got out of the military. I served in the Marine Corps, and I did a tour in Afghanistan from 2010 to 2011. And I was infantry. Currently, right now, I am married. I have a wife whose name is Amanda, and we have our first daughter. We named her Adeline. And we were sealed in the Salt Lake Temple, and this August we'll be going on our 2-year anniversary. And we just moved back to Utah from Tennessee, because that's where I was stationed. And we're going to be opening up a new concept. It's a coffee substitute cafe. So we'll be actually offering anything you see like at a coffee shop, but without the coffee and the caffeine. So it's our own little creation, kind of like Postum, I guess.
Cool. Yeah. What is that called?
It's going to be called Maca Mocha. So it's a play on words. It's a mock mocha.
Oh.
Yeah, but we'll be doing that, and we've been working on it the last 6 to 8 months now.
Oh, cool. I'll have to look for that.
Yeah, exactly.
So what about in the church? You, I guess you just moved to Utah recently, so I guess probably don't have a calling yet, or do you?
No, I just got released from my calling. The last calling I held was I was the young men's president in our family ward in Tennessee. And before that, I was the second counselor in the young men's, and have done that for the last 2 years. It's been a blessing for me. I love the young men, and I truly believe it's been Heavenly Father inspired, because the young men didn't need me. You know, I definitely needed them. So they taught me a lot, and I think Tennessee allowed me to come back to Utah a little bit better of a person because of them.
Now, the way that you and I came into contact was through FAIR. And so you've been involved with FAIR. And what kind of involvement is that? What have you been doing?
Well, it hasn't been too extensive. I'm in no way a scholar or anything like that, but I have felt it's been something that I've needed to get involved with for many reasons, and I guess we'll go into them eventually. But I've just done simple things as much as I can, as in responding to the Mormon Voices callings and looking up the different various online disputes, if you will, that FAIR has allowed us to recognize. So those lists that they send on media attractions with the church and things, I've been able to respond and I guess put in my 2 cents on the research I've found
Okay, so for those of our listeners that aren't aware, I guess what you're talking about is being involved with Mormon Voices by signing up for the Mormon Voices email so that when there are articles that come out that maybe have some kind of hot button issue, that they sometimes attract a lot of negative comments toward the church. And this is a way for faithful members to be aware of that, and they can go on and make positive comments and share their personal experiences on some of these comment boards. Is that right?
You said it a lot better than I could, yeah.
And have you also helped participate in the Ask the Apologist service that FAIR provides?
I've tried to as much as I can, yeah. You know, and my involvement, I do see in my future, I want to be in more and more involved as I possibly can, the more I learn, just so I have more to offer.
And for people that aren't aware of that service, people can go to FAIR's website, and they can go to, you know, click on the Ask the Apologist link, and you can type in a question that you have, that, you know, maybe some issue of church history or doctrine that you're concerned about, and there are, you know, probably over 100 at least people on that list who can respond to that question and help give some support, provide some answers. And so that's something that you have been trying to get involved with recently.
Yes.
And not too long ago, you were inactive in the church. Is that right?
That is correct.
How long have you been active?
I've been active going on 3 years now.
Okay. And so we'll work our way into that. You know, what is it that brought you to a point of inactivity, and what brought you back? Let's back up though and talk a little bit about your education. It's a little bit unique, and and I think that'll kind of lead into a discussion of what caused your inactivity and loss of faith in the church. So tell me about that. How is it that what kind of education did you have growing up?
Well, to go right to the beginning, my parents felt it in their wisdom that we would be taken out of public schools when I was in second grade, and I'm the oldest of four, so my other siblings never experienced public school at all, but we were homeschooled, and as I got older, I did not want that, and eventually I was able to...
When you say older, how old were you?
Well, older as in, you know... 12, 13,
okay.
14 years old. Yeah, older as in meaning that. And, you know, I voiced I wanted to go to public school, and in my parents and their wisdom, they decided no. And so we went on with what they had planned for me. And at 14, maybe right before I turned 14, I can't remember exactly, I enrolled into our community college and started taking actual college classes. So we passed all the requirements virtually for high school, so we started doing college classes for our high school years. Though that was great to them, I didn't see the big picture at the time, and I still wanted the high school experience, you know, to go to prom and to play sports and all those types of things. So, you know, eventually they couldn't stand me saying all that all the time, so they let me experience high school for I came in the middle of a year, so it was about a year and a half, my sophomore and junior year.
By this time, you're, what, 15, 16?
Still 14.
Oh, wow.
I don't even think I was 15 yet. I may have been almost 15.
So you're attending college at age 14.
Yes, and then later, after my first two semesters there, then I started going to high school.
Okay.
And I did that for a year and a half, did what I wanted, played football, played soccer, and made all kinds of friends and things, and it was all kind of what I thought, but at the same time it wasn't, because my parents had raised us, I guess you could say, to be more socially advanced, so half the conversations going on in high school I had no interest in.
Well, you're spending all your time, I guess, you know, with adults, you know, when you're being homeschooled. And
exactly.
And then you get into going to high school, and the level of conversation changes a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely changed, and I wasn't used to it, and I ended up not liking it. You know, I was just like, this... They're talking about things I really don't have an interest in, you know. So decided to go back to my parents' plan for us, and that was junior college there. And so I went back, to junior college. I was 16, I believe. And in the process of doing that, to give you a little background about me, I've always loved the military. I always was raised watching those Audie Murphy and John Wayne war movies. You know, I was raised watching black and white movies and things. And I really thought it was kind of glamorous. My Sunday school teacher was a Marine, and I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And the Marines had a booth set up on campus, at the college campus, after I'd started going back there. And I just fell in love with the idea of becoming a Marine. And I proposed this whole idea to my parents. You know, hey, can I join the Marines? I'll go into the reserves so I can still go on my mission at 19. They'll allow you to go out to take 2 years of leave just to go on a mission. They accommodate that for LDS people. So I came up with this whole argument for them that they practically couldn't turn down, and they didn't. They said I could do that. So at 17 years old, my parents signed for me, and I joined the Marines, and I joined the reserves. And I wasn't exactly reserves coming out of boot camp because of the war in Iraq. It had just kicked off with the invasion, and so I got very involved in active duty with them. And that's when I was pretty much exposed to the world in a very condensed version.
Now, leading up to this point, what kind of activity did you have in the church?
You know, I was—I don't want to say poster child, but I was one of those kids in the church where everyone looked at me as someone who was on the ball. I attended all 4 years of seminary. Not only attended, but my participation and attendance was 100% all 4 years. You know, I was an Eagle Scout at 14. I was the teacher's quorum president and extremely active. Loved it.
Clearly, you'd say you had a testimony.
Oh, yeah. I had a very strong testimony of the gospel, of church.
Did you feel like you had experiences with the Spirit where you felt like that God had confirmed to you that this church is true?
Well, yes, I had many very spiritual moments. So, well, one thing I left out is I went to EFY for 3 years, for 3 years of my young life, and even in EFY, you know, they always talk about how you come away with such a spiritual experience, and I did. I was one of those where I really felt something that could not be explained by any scientific type means, that there was something greater than any of us, and that the church was true, and that I was in the right establishment, that I had come to have a testimony of Joseph Smith, of my Savior, and of all of those things, you know, and I had that just wasn't once, you know. I had many occurrences where I felt the Spirit, where I knew that I couldn't make that up, I guess you could say. And so I was, you know, I was doing everything that I felt was right and that was expected of me. And there was no reason not to.
So then what happened?
Heavenly Father in His wisdom has put us on this earth with weaknesses. In my high school experience, when I was 16, I gave in to a couple of those weaknesses, and they were big enough to meet with the bishop for a year. And I did that, and that was kind of the beginning of losing my strength, I guess you could say, strength of testimony. And that was the starting point. But I cleared all this stuff with my bishop. You know, the church was still true. I just messed up. And I started moving from there.
And so this is about the time when you go into the military.
Yeah, this is before the military. This is a year before the military.
Right, but you
clear clearing it up with the bishop with the was bishop. Right before the military.
You're back on track, yep. And then you go into the military.
Yes.
And how was that experience for you?
Well, initially it was good, but then at the same time, you know, I was very impressionable, so it was exactly what the Marines wanted because they could mold me to whatever they wanted me to be. I just soaked everything up they told me. At the same time, the military life can be very rugged and hard, and just a condensed world, natural man world, very condensed. And I was exposed to so many things that I had never been exposed to before in full force. And I just was in, you know, very impressionable. So I was soaking up the good and the bad. And many people I had looked up to in the Marine Corps, not of our faith, not of our lifestyle, presented to me different ways of living, different ways of looking at things. And I just started soaking it up. And that's kind of, oh, at the same time, just so you know, even though my bishop said I was good with a lot of those things, I did not have, at the time, I did not have enough faith in my Savior's atonement where I still felt good about me. Because I was a kid that was, you know, I knew that people looked up to me. And when I failed for me, you know, I really was down on myself for that. So even after a year's time, I was still down about myself because I was had that mindset. I was never going to mess up on anything. I was always going to be that perfect kid. And it was a very harsh reality that I was not going to be perfect. And so even after my bishop's, you know, approval saying, hey, everything's good now, to me it still was not good. So I was in that mindset of, I'm still ashamed. I still don't want to go to church full time and things like that. And so I struggled with that the next year in the process of being exposed to the Marines and the world.
So you're in the Marine Corps and
yes.
It sounds like your church attendance becomes kind of spotty at this point.
Extremely spotty. You know, my parents were kind of wondering what's going on with him, you know, because I mean, it was just kind of a out of the nowhere thing. I just started not going to church regularly. Hit and miss. I was very, you could tell on the outside how conflicted I was on the inside.
And so I guess you're saying the reason that you stopped going regularly was simply that you didn't quite feel worthy?
That would be a good way of putting it. I didn't feel worthy. I was very discouraged, to be there. And I know that now I realize in retrospect that it was that Satan was working on me, you know, to hardcore. But I didn't feel worthy. I felt like I still let all those people down, and that the people who had known what I had done or whatever it was were still looking at me like that. And it was a very discouraging thing because I know I let people down initially. And so you know, that all happened, but then I still believe the church was true. There was no reason for me not to, you know, and so I still had all those aspirations of becoming an elder and taking the next steps. I still wanted those things.
Now, during this time period, were you still, you know, even though your church attendance is spotty, are you saying your prayers? Are you reading your scriptures?
My prayers and scriptures, excuse me, were just as spotty as my church attendance. Everything on the outside that looked conflicted was the same in my personal life and on what was going on the inside. Everything was very inconsistent. One day I'd read my scriptures and for the next week I wouldn't type thing, you know, and my prayers were very, off and on and half-hearted and you know, not worthy to pray type attitude and things like that. To where I was in a weakened state still. And that led me to, you know, I was getting ready to become an elder. I was turning 18. And so this has been going on this whole year from 17, joining the Marine Corps to 18. And I'm getting ready to become an elder and go over my mission papers and meet with the state president. And literally a week before that was to happen, I allowed my weaknesses to get the best of me again. And messed up in the exact same way I had when I was 16, and that was almost it for me. I just can't do this personally. The church is still true. I can't meet the expectations. My weaknesses are too great, and I was so discouraged and so ashamed that I fell off the face of the map in the LDS community and our stake and our, you know, there. Didn't return my state president's voicemails asking what had happened to me. You know, I was done.
And so, did you just stop going to church entirely?
You know, like I said, since I still felt the church was true, I still had that in me, to continue trying. I still had that desire to an extent. And so I went from going to not going at all to my parents seeing how depressed it made them, I guess you could say, to not wanting to let my parents down and make them feel like that. So I went off and on to make them happy, or to make them, I guess, you know, shut up, you know, about it. You know, I
just get off my back.
Yeah, get off my back. Okay, I'll go. You know, to the point where they suggested Utah to move to Utah, because at the time in Southern California, I didn't have the best of friends. They were all bad influences on me, and so that I think in their eyes, they said Utah would be a great place. Start over, make some strong LDS friends, you know. And in my heart of hearts, I wanted that because I did want to have a fresh start. I wanted to try over again, a place where no one knew about the previous Cody, you know, type thing, and to where I could start over again. So I went, but I fell into the wrong crowd right away. I was still in that mentality where I attracted those type of people that were not good influences on me.
So you lost me there. So were you still in the military?
I had just gotten out of the military.
Okay, so you went into active duty.
Well, I had a medical discharge.
Okay, but from 17 until when were you in the military?
Well, technically 20, but I was released when I was 19.
Okay.
Because of my medical discharge. They had put me on a board, and during that board, I was released to pretty much do whatever I wanted.
Okay. And served in Afghanistan?
No, not at the time.
Oh, okay.
That was later.
Okay. And so you come back from the military, and that's when you go to Utah.
And that's when I went to Utah. So I was 19 and moved to Utah. But I got accepted to LDS Business College. So though I was conflicted, I still hadn't done anything that would deem me unworthy of attending those schools to get an ecclesiastical endorsement.
Right, yeah. You have to have an ecclesiastical endorsement to go to LDS Business College.
Yes.
Okay, and you were able to obtain that?
And I was able to. You know, I was wanting a change, and I went. But then even there, you know, I still fell into a crowd that was not LDS.
Now, when you say you wanted a change, at this point, where were you with respect to your testimony? Would you say that at this point that you still had a testimony that the church was true?
Like I said, there was no reason for me not to believe it. I didn't really think about my testimony. You know, I didn't put too much emphasis on it, or even try and build it, or anything. I was just thinking, woe is me, is my thought process. And it was all about...
Is this still going back to, you know, the fact that, you know, you had trouble when you were 16, you know, you had trouble, you know, right before you were going to go on your mission, you know, and
yeah.
I guess didn't really clear that up by that point.
Well, I didn't clear it up, and in that whole process, in the Marine Corps, I guess you could say, backtrack on this, I had stumbled across, and I mean stumbled across because it was on accident, some anti-Mormon propaganda. And it shook me. It was like getting hit by a truck, you know, because it was stuff that I wasn't taught in Sunday school. You know, I wasn't taught by my parents. They probably didn't even know about this stuff. And it really shook me. And so...
What just generally, what kinds of things are you coming across that are shaking you?
Well, I mean, initially, just things, and I mean, there's subtle things, and then there's more extensive things, but I mean, just things like finding out Joseph Smith was a Mason, and that 2 months after he was initiated type thing is when he introduced the endowment session. You know, and those types of things, at 19, not serving a mission, I didn't even know what the endowment session consisted of. But I took these pages' words for it that they were almost identical in what they did type of thing, you know. And just the fact he joined the Masons bothered me. And then finding out he had, you know, 30-plus wives. I wasn't taught that in Sunday school. I was taught Brigham Young was the ones with the wives. You know, so it was a lot of shock value that I wasn't taught. And so I started second-guessing not my testimony, but the church, which I had never done before. It wasn't the church I used to second guess. It was my testimony. Now it was the church, because I'm starting to read all this stuff that's trying to say the church is wrong, that Joseph Smith was a fraud.
So when you say that you're questioning the church, are you saying that you're wondering about whether the church has been straight with you? You know, that this organization's been teaching you one thing, but you're finding out these other facts. Is that what you're getting at?
Partially, I felt like if they didn't teach it to me in Sunday school, there's a reason they're trying to hide this stuff. And from an anti-biased standpoint, the way it was presented was they were hiding this stuff. You know, and so I'm starting to feel that way, like they're hiding all of this stuff from me. And there's good reason. Look at it. This is not good stuff in my mind at the time, you know, and so I started, well, I'm already a sinner, I've already messed up, I already feel bad about myself. So then I started getting into this, the anti stuff to, at first, it was to rationalize my choice in being conflicted, not really going. And I wanted to...
Rationalize your choice not to be active in the church.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
At first, and then I did... this is later on, we can go into it, but I did start believing it, that it was true, and I went from reading it...
You started believing the criticisms.
The criticisms, and that the church was not true because of these reasons. So it went from just rationalizing my lifestyle to now I believe it. You know, I do believe what they have to say. And at the time, I had no clue about organizations like FAIR, like Farms, Maxwell Institute, that had rebuttals or were willing to defend. I had answers like, well, I don't know about that either, but just pray about it. And at the time, that wasn't good enough for me. You know, I had a very logical, well, I still have a logical mindset, you know, and I wanted answers, to these questions that to me, needed answers. You know, faith didn't cut it in these instances. You know, I needed an answer, or else I was done. But that will obviously come later. But that's kind of where I was. So I still wanted the church to be true because it was a good institution to me. I was raised in it, and it made me happy. My parents were happy; they were still together, type thing. You know, I had that stereotypical happy LDS family, which I was very blessed to have that. And I wanted it to be true. So even in the beginning of my research, I still wanted the church to be true. So anything I was reading was making me angry because to me it was showing that it wasn't. And so going to LDS Business College, I had this attitude of anger. This attitude of now I'm trying to find ways to prove to that validate that it is wrong. So yes, I was obviously I was worthy to go, but my mindset was very critical at that point, getting critical of the church.
Okay, and during this time then you're going to LDS Business College, you attending the church?
I went to church. I didn't do anything outside of that.
Did you have a calling?
No, I did not.
Okay. What about the religion classes? Were you attending those at LDS Business College?
I actually was. I mean, it was not only a requirement to attend religious classes, but I wanted to. Because I still wanted things that gave validity to the church's divinity. At the same time, I was very conflicted. I was still looking for things that proved it wrong. So I took these religion classes, and things like Mountain Meadows Massacre would pop up, and the professor would talk about them, and I'd be pointing a finger going, see, another thing that stains the church's reputation in my eyes. And so I didn't have a good attitude, and I was only going to still not have to hear anything or have my parents be on my back about it.
Are you, during this time period, you going to any of the devotionals at the LDS Business College?
I was not going. My activity was minimal. It was to church because my roommates were LDS. We had five roommates. One of them was like me, who we fed off each other, criticism, building our criticism and losing our faith. And he was just like me. The other three roommates were all returned missionaries, all solid, and we went because of them.
And because you're required, you know, you got to maintain the ecclesiastical endorsement.
Yes.
There are these religion classes you're required to take,
yes.
But you're not going to go to the devotionals. What about praying or reading the scriptures?
I wasn't doing that on my own. I wasn't doing that on my own.
Okay.
So
and so you know, when you get a chance, you're, I guess, looking up stuff on the internet, researching.
Yeah, oh yeah, I was doing research. My research was on and off. It wasn't an everyday thing, but I would get into it, and then I'd think about it, and I'd let it just simmer. And then I'd get into it again, and it would be in depth, and I'd get angry, and then, and I'd have nothing to as a rebuttal, you know, and I wasn't reading my scriptures and saying my prayers because my mentality was those were associated to the very church that I'm now kind of finding, assuming is wrong. And so if the church is wrong, then those principles of praying and reading the scriptures must be wrong too. So I just kind of, anything that had to associate with the church, I just kind of stopped doing.
So pretty much you're only doing what's required in order for you to continue.
In order for me to continue going to school. And
yeah.
In order for me to not have my parents on my back saying, what are you doing?
And you're not really out at this point saying, you know, that the church isn't true.
No. I would say things subtly. I'd have a little, you know, not arguments, but discussions with friends that were active. And I would subtly slip in negative things. You know, and that was my, and it would be bitter, but it would be negative to where maybe they're just thinking, well, Cody just had an off-color day or whatever it was, but no one was sitting around going, hey, Cody's, you know, not LDS, but the ones close to me knew, but they just, it was a subtle, subtle environment.
Now, what are your parents doing leading up to this point? By the time you get to LDS Business College, maybe they feel like, okay, you know, we're out of this.
He's doing good.
Yeah, we're fine now. But,
yep.
I mean, before that, clearly you were in this period of clear inactivity. And
yes.
How did they respond to that?
Well, like I said, they before that, they were the reason for me going to LDS BC and things like that is because I saw how they reacted to me being inactive and out about it. To where, you know, I still had enough love, I guess, and respect for my parents where I didn't like seeing them like that. So if I had to fake it so that they were happy, then that's what I was doing. So through my LDS BC period, I was virtually faking it so that my parents back in California wouldn't be sad. You know, and going back, you know, when I did come out about it, about being inactive when I was like 18 and came out strong about it. You know, I came home with tattoos, things like that, you know, to where my mom just broke down crying, you know, and I had to see that kind of stuff. And though I felt a certain way about the church at that time, I still loved my parents and I didn't want to see them suffer, I guess you could say, or be sad about it. So,
you know, parents are always feeling like they say all this stuff and their kids aren't listening. And they go off and you know, do whatever they do anyway. It sounds like that even though, you know, you're coming home with the tattoos, you're not going to church, your parents did make a difference in your life.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I still love my parents very much. And I'm a softie. You know, I have a big conscience. And though I, for me, was not, seemed like the church wasn't true, I did not want to break my parents' hearts, you know, I didn't like seeing them sad, even if it wasn't something I agreed with in the lifestyle. And so, like I said, for a while, I'm like, you know, I'm just going to fake it.
Okay. You so know? That's what brings you to LDS Business College.
That's what brings me to LDS Business College.
And then what happened?
Well, I went there for a year and was faking it, was getting more into anti stuff. It was, and a couple times, you know, I was getting so discouraged because even then I still had that desire where I wanted the church to be true. It was a good organization, and I wanted to believe that Joseph Smith saw God and that the Book of Mormon was real, a book I had been reading since I was a kid, you know. And so I even had moments where, you know, I lived in the avenues and I'd walk down to the Salt Lake Temple in the middle of the night by myself, and I would just have a prayer out loud, you know, to Heavenly Father, like, okay, I'm getting into some stuff that's saying that the church, your church is not true. Send me an answer, almost like a sign type thing. You know, this is it or never. You know, send me something. And I'd walk away disappointed because I wouldn't hear anything or see anything. And I did that a couple times, you know, in despair. And nothing happened. So, of course, my testimony, my faith is diminishing, is getting weaker and weaker.
Now, what about all those experiences you had that you referred to before, going to, especially for youth, or, uh-huh. you know, you're going to every single day to seminary. What did that mean to you? By this point, you're saying, you know, show me a sign.
Yeah.
But hadn't you already received a sign?
Well, those were easily rationalized off as just like a psychological event that, you know, you can, I likened it to, well, during the Pledge of Allegiance or hearing a good song, you can get a little teary-eyed and feel all warm and fuzzy inside, and that's all that was.
Okay, so you want something dramatic.
I wanted something dramatic. I wanted angels and trumpets. How come an angel visited Alma and not me?
Right.
You know? And I wanted that, and I felt like it was entitled to me. I had just dove into all this stuff that was contrary to what I believed, and if Heavenly Father wanted me bad enough to keep doing what he wanted me to do,
He better do something.
He better do something drastic too, you know. So, and that's what I felt, and I was very adamant about that, and it didn't happen, you know. So then my faith and my testimony just started deteriorating even further, you know, from there.
And so of course you go to BYU.
And then of course I go to BYU, the place where, you know.
So why did you go to BYU? Why not just stay at LDS Business College?
Well, because that was the initial goal, was to go to. I was already a transfer student, coming from a junior college in California, and I don't think my GPA was to the level that BYU wanted at the time. So I had to go to LDS Business College to bump up my GPA. And so I did that, and I met all of their requirements, and I got accepted to BYU. And that was kind of the plan all along. And I was going with it partly because my parents were supporting me. You know, that was one of their things. Hey, if you go there and do all this stuff, we'll support you. They were fine with that. They didn't want their son straying, you know. And so I was, in a way, using them, you know, because I was like, hey, they're paying for everything. Might as well get a free education and a place to live and food on my table. And so my mindset wasn't obviously of a caliber of someone that, you know. And so I went to BYU, and halfway through the semester, I had one of these other moments of, you know, feeling despair. And so I drove all the way, you know, from Provo to Cottonwood, one of the Cottonwood, Cottonwood Canyons,
yeah.
Or I think it was one of them, and I had found a spot, and in the middle of the night, just one last time, it was like my last attempt to talk to God and have him reveal himself in some way that I just couldn't, you know, refute. And so I remember just praying to him out there and saying, this is it. I have found so many evidences against your church, you know, that if you don't show me something, I'm done. And so you know a little bit more about that, you know, I looked at the LDS church as it was the church. I had done research, and I just, you know, it was very logical and reason for me. Looking at any other church, it just didn't have all the fullness that the LDS church had.
Not all the explanations,
yeah. The answers, the ordinances, anything that, and I mean, you could look at the Bible and what's written in the Bible, and I say we now, but the LDS church at the time followed all the things in the Bible more fully than any other church to me, and I could see that. So, in my mind, one of the reasons I was so upset was if the LDS church was not true, then there was no God. And I had that in my mind. And so I wasn't just hoping that the LDS church was true, that it was true. I was hoping that it was true because I wanted also to believe that there was a God. You know, they went hand in hand. There was no separating them. And so when I was in despair like this, I'm thinking, well, when I die, I'm just not going to exist now. And what's this earth life? I used to think it had a purpose, and now I'm finding out that it's just a scientific accident, I guess, you know. And so I had a lot, you know, behind that, and I still wanted to believe it was true, but the so-called evidence and the facts were telling me otherwise. And I said, you know, I came down from that hill just hearing crickets because I didn't get the manifestation that I was looking for. And I, like I said, from there, I left BYU halfway through the semester, my first semester. I don't even think
Is this why you left BYU?
That is the reason I left BYU. You know, of course, my parents, they're going, why did you just leave? You know, and so I told them this. I told them it was because I got a good job that I couldn't pass down. You know, I couldn't.
What was the job?
I became a personal trainer. And I was promised the world from these personal trainers that I was just going to make, you know, the most money anyone's ever seen in their life. So, you know, it was partly true that that's what they were telling me, but that was the reason I told my parents I left BYU. But it was because I had just decided that the church is no longer true and that there wasn't a God. And from there on out, and I was not yet 21, almost 21, and from there on out, I was going to live the life of Cody, whatever I wanted.
Now, there must have been pressure at this point. You know, you're going to LDS Business College, you know, you're 19 or 20, you're going to BYU. I can imagine people were saying, hey, what about a mission?
Mm-hmm.
And so what was your thought process when you're in an LDS Business College and BYU about preparing to go on a mission?
Well, that's interesting.
Which is just completely not in your thinking?
It was not in my thinking. And I had a few tattoos. I had one that's very visible. You know, so it on dates, of course, it would be brought up. You know, things like that. Why do you have a tattoo? Or you're 20. Aren't you supposed to be on your mission right now? You know, type questions. So I got used to them. At the same time, I despised them. You know, same way I despised questions I had to people that I held in high esteem. Like, I just came across that Joseph Smith had all these wives, and few of them he married that were married to other men already. Why? And I'd ask those type of questions to people that I, you know, held in high esteem. And their answers were, well, I didn't know that, but just pray about it. And, like, you know, if we go back to my attitude, prayer was not the answer for me at that time. I wanted answers, real answers. And everyone's response was pray about it. So I was beginning to despise that type of thing. When people say, oh, come back to church, or you got to do this and just pray about it type, I hated that, you know. And so I would get these types of things with dating and with my tattoo or with going on a mission, and these types of questions or comments to me were just pushing me away.
What about your parents? Were your parents giving you that kind of pressure and saying, Cody, why aren't you going on a mission?
Well, yeah and no. Like I said, they were and they weren't. I think they were conflicted as to how do we approach our own son. Do we say certain things that he'll back away from? Is he backing away more because he's just in that rebellious attitude? Or do we say go on a mission type thing?
They're just happy you're in Utah.
Yeah, they're just happy I'm going to church.
And, yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I think they were conflicted as to how to approach me. You know, since I was very everywhere, just conflicted, I think people could see that, and they didn't know how to approach me. They were tiptoeing around me. Are we going to offend them by what we say, or are we going to make some sense to them? You know, so, I mean, you know, I was all over the place, almost bipolar in how I would respond to people, you know. So that the mission question, when it came to my parents, they left it alone eventually. I think they didn't give up, but they just knew that it was something to leave alone. But I still got it from people at BYU. Eventually, this company, this personal training company, sent me down to St. George. So I completely left that scene. And that was in the process of living the life of Cody, what I wanted to do. Still, and
following your bliss.
Following whatever I wanted to do, you
okay.
know. And that whole time, still, you know, obviously I'm not reading my scriptures, I'm not saying my prayers.
What about
going to church now.
What about friends and family members? Was there an impact on them? And did you end up leading anyone else out of the church through this time period?
Well, you know, I'm the oldest of four, and I could tell it affected a couple of my siblings and some of the decisions they made at the time. I really let them down, and they voiced that to me. And then I did have a couple friends, very good friends of mine from California, that, you know, I'm the research person. I love researching things, history, things like that. So I'm the one who found all this research, and then I presented it to my friends. And said, look at what we have been living, look what we've been raised in, and then look what really is going on. You know, and I was manipulative, and
why'd you do that?
Well, because I was bitter, I was angry, and I felt like I had just been enlightened, and like I just found out the truth about the church, And of course, my first response was, I got to help my friends see that too.
You got to go evangelize.
Yeah, I have to help them too.
Spread the word.
Why let them live in ignorance, you know? And so I'm like, I have to help them in a way, you know? And it was just, I just found dirt on something. The first thing you do when you find dirt on something is tell people, look what I just found out about. Can you believe this? You know?
How did you feel about that? Was there a sense of relief in leaving the church, or power, or a rush of emotion? I mean,
I felt enlightened a little bit. Like, now I knew something you don't, because I knew that most people don't do research like that, you know. And that I felt at the time that if you did research like this, I didn't know about organizations, like I said, about like FAIR and farms and stuff. I felt that if anyone found out about this information like I just did,
they would have to leave the church.
They're done. I didn't know of anyone that could read this stuff and still stay faithful. I just didn't, you know. And so I felt like this was all stuff that, man, most LDS people who go to church don't know about this stuff, and they just have the wool over their eyes. But if they were enlightened like I was, they would come to the same conclusions, you know. And that's about that. But yes, I did end up having two of my friends come with me, I guess you could say, out of the church. One of them has since never returned. And one of them actually ended up returning before I even did. Got married and sealed in the temple, and is still doing great in church. And that's kind of what happened with all that.
So how long did this last? I guess around about 20, pretty much made a break with the church.
Yeah, almost 21.
Okay, and I guess at that point you sort of came out to your friends and family.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't call up my parents and say, "Hey, I'm done." I just made it very apparent in my lifestyle, and
they ever talked to you about that?
Oh yeah, they said, "What's going on with you?" And they would try, but like I said, my attitude was so rebellious and so bitter. And my parents, they've never done, well, at least to my knowledge, the in-depth research that I felt I had done. So like I said, when I had questions, their answers were, well, there has to be a good reason, and just pray about it. Or they would accuse me of not living right enough to receive an answer. So either way they approached it, I was offended and mad at their response. Like I said, I didn't want to hear pray about it, you know, or I didn't want to hear, well, you just obviously must not be living right to receive a good answer about it. You know, either way, I'm like, who are you, you know, to tell me what I'm doing is wrong or to pray about it? That's not good enough for this, for me.
So you were looking for some kind of rational response.
Logical, rational response.
These problems in history or doctrine that you were finding.
Yes.
Okay. And I mean, at some point, was it clear to your parents at some point that you just no longer believed in God?
I expressed that to him a couple times, but I expressed it to him more gingerly, I think. I just said, I don't know if I'd use that kind of verbiage. I don't know if I believe there's even a God anymore. But in my mind, I was adamant about it. There just can't be. If the church isn't true, there just can't be.
How long did it take you to get to that point where you were saying these kinds of things, you know, to your parents?
Well, after the whole BYU experience it wasn't too long after that. I just made a very, I'm not going to church anymore. I don't go to church. And I got to the point, you know, eventually where I told my parents, don't ever mention anything about the church around me. I do not want to hear it. If our phone calls, or because I was still in Utah, they're in California, if our phone calls even hint that you're going to start talking to me about the church, I'm going to hang up the phone. Like, that was just my attitude.
Talk about the church at all?
Like, don't tell me about it.
Hey, we had this family, this ward party the other day.
Because I felt like they're going to start being manipulative. They're only bringing it up to maybe root in there, open a door to start talking about it with me.
Right.
So anything that they hinted about it, I felt like it was going to be a manipulative conversation where they're going to use it as a doorway to get in and start talking about it again.
So what changed? Let me ask you this first, though. How long did this go on that things did begin to change? How many years was it?
Well, change as in to getting back into church?
Yeah.
Well, I'd say towards the end of 2009.
So how many years was that?
About almost 4 years.
Okay.
So just complete inactivity, bitterness.
So what happened to change that?
Well, you know, eventually the shock factor of so-called finding out the church is not true. It goes away a little bit. The shock value is gone. And now you're just left with the so-called facts, which you've already simmered over and you've already been bitter over for the most part, you know. At least in my experience, some people may hold on to things a little bit longer. But I had kind of gotten over the fact now that the church isn't true, so there's not God, and now I'm not held accountable to anyone, so I can just do what I want, and that's what I was doing. But, you know, and I reached some level of happiness, I guess you could say, because I believe you can reach a level of happiness outside the church as long as you're living right. But I lived a certain level of what I thought was happiness, but no matter what I was doing, there was always some moment in the day or some moment whenever where I just had this little pull, little tug, where I knew there was a God. I knew I could look out I would be in a grocery store and just look out across people and have that instant thought like, this is not an accident. And then I'd be angry at that thought and I'd dust it aside, say, don't think like that, you know? Or then I would have a night where I'd look up at the stars and be like, this cannot just be some, you know, accident. Or you know, there's not just a scientific explanation for this. And I would get that feeling inside that there was something more. And I couldn't really explain it. And I didn't want to. I was angry when I would get those feelings. But it wouldn't, and I would get angry to the point where leave me alone. Stop bugging me. With these feelings that there's something more, that we're not an accident, that there is a God. And I get these very distinct feelings, and it was on a daily basis, no matter how subtle, no matter how, even if it was a split second, I got good at being able to brush it off, at thinking of something else. But it would not leave me alone, and it drove me crazy. To the point where since I am a person of research wanting to get to the bottom of things, I decided to take a look at it again, at the whole spiritual thing. And I eventually did. And
what kind of things are you taking a look at?
Well, just, I realized that if I had to decide there was a God again, based off of all these little nudges I kept getting, then I would have to realize that he's not a God of confusion. He's a God of organization and order, and if that's true, then he would have an organized establishment of people that believed in him, that did what he wanted them to do. And I had to come to that conclusion. And when I did, I had to come back to the realization, the same logic that led me out of the church is what brought me back. I had to realize that if, you know, he was there, he would have a church, and that church would be the LDS church. And then I had to look at everything I'd researched before in a different light. And to make a long story short about this, I did the same research, but this time with a different attitude, with a different spirit, and I did say my prayers, and I did read my scriptures every day while I did it. I can't explain how I did it, I just started doing it. Because of the nudge that was driving me nuts.
So this is there's just this sensation that you have inside you kind of pulling you back into the church.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, yes, because it was this sensation inside me that I couldn't explain. And because I couldn't explain it, I was mad at it. Because I have a very logical mindset, once again, to where I have to have things explained to me. And since I could not explain this, I was upset that I could not explain something that I was experiencing internally. And it was at that, I had to decide and realize for myself that if there is a God, I am not going to be able to explain or understand and comprehend the things of a God. I'm a mortal man with a finite mind. So I had to realize, you know, who am I to think that I should be able to comprehend the mind of a God. If there truly is a God, I should not be able to understand his ways or what he has done. So it really, really humbled me. And I had to come to the conclusion for myself that I'm not going to be able to explain everything or come to a logically sound reason for everything that a God is going to do on this earth through men. I'm not going to understand everything. And when I was able to humble myself enough to do that, I allowed faith to start coming back. And when I allowed to start faith to start coming back into my life, I was able to start looking at the same things I had read before in a whole different light. In a more humble light, I guess you could say. Because I was able to start realizing that I'm not going to understand everything. And then I did come across the things like fair, where there was actual rebuttals. And there was testimonies of people who had done the same research I had done and were able to stay faithful. And that gave me extra hope, knowing that these people are able to read everything so-called ugly and, upsetting about the church and stay faithful. If not, they look stronger. And that gave me hope. Same principle as, though my family's words to me were not encouraging at the time because of my attitude and mindset, their examples were, always were. And of friends who stayed faithful, their examples were encouraging to me. Because I was able to leave, come back, and come back to people who still felt as strongly, if not more strongly, about Christ, about the church, about God. And it was a firm foundation I was able to come back to. And when my testimony was weak and non-existent for a while, I still had other people's testimonies to lean on, you know? And I was able to do that with the apologist. I was able to read their testimonies, their takes. Sometimes it seemed like, you know, even they didn't have the full-on answer, and I appreciated that they didn't have the full-on answer, and they'd say that. And I was so impressed with their faith that they had, that these were men who were just as intellectual, if not more, than the other men who presented, you know, opposite things, and that they were able to be humble and acknowledge a higher power and someone who thinks on a different level than them, and they acknowledge that they would not be able to think on that same level. And I started seeing things in a different light, and that's kind of how that started. It was my activation again.
Thank you for listening to the Mormon Faircast. If there is an issue that you've been wondering about, you can often find the latest answers at the Fair Wiki, found at fairmormon.org. If you can't find your answer there, feel free to pose your question to the Fair Apologists by visiting the Fair contact page. Questions or comments about this episode can be sent to podcast@fairlds.org or join the conversation at fairblog.org. Tell your friends about us and help increase the popularity of this podcast by subscribing in iTunes and by writing a review. Music for this episode was provided courtesy of Paul Cardall. The opinions expressed in this podcast are not necessarily the views of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or of Fair.